I'd like to tell you that I'm surprised by what I read today. I'd like to tell you that I'm shocked by what I read today. But both of those would be a lie because what I read today was that Dana White wants to book Khamzat Chimaev against Nate Diaz. Now, Neil Magny, who is the number eight ranked UFC welterweight, he said he wants to fight Khamzat Chimaev, and that fight would make perfect sense because Magny is one of the most well-rounded fighters in the welterweight division, and he would probably give Chimaev a test some way because he can do everything and he can do everything well. He's not great at any one thing, but he's well-rounded enough that he can. He's a top-ranked, top-notch fighter. He's been in the UFC for a long time. He's proven that he is a good fighter. He probably is not going to get a title shot, but if he steps in there with Chimaev and beats him, well, that changes the narrative for Neil Magny, and that would make sense to me. However, the UFC being the UFC, I should rephrase that. Dana White being Dana White, he's going to let his pettiness and his vindictiveness get in the way of that fight, and instead, he's going to try and book Nate Diaz, a man who hasn't won a fight since he beat Anthony Pettis in 2019. Coming off losses to Jorge Masvidal, where he got doctor stoppage because of cuts. Leon Edwards, where he just got outclassed and beaten for four of the five rounds. And that's the fight that he wants to make for Chimaev. Now, don't mistake this for White saying that Diaz is a fighter that could beat Chimaev. This is a fight designed to downgrade Nate Diaz because, as we all know, Nate Diaz has one fight left on his UFC deal. And if Dana White is anything, he is petty, he is vindictive, and he wants to send Nate Diaz out of the UFC on a loss so he can't earn as much money as he possibly would on a win. Now, if I'm Nate Diaz, I'm seeing right through this and I'm refusing that fight. But then all that does is add time to his UFC contract. And let's face it, Nate Diaz is not going to get a fight that makes sense for him at this point because he's probably going to leave the UFC. The only way Nate Diaz gets a fight that makes sense for him is if he says he's going to re-sign with the UFC for 4 or 5 years. And well, that makes no financial sense for Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz has money to be made outside the UFC, possibly with Bellator, possibly boxing with one of the Paul brothers, but his money-making opportunities outside of a rematch with Conor McGregor are outside the UFC. And so I expect Nate Diaz to turn down this fight, and that's kind of puts him in a bad spot. This fight makes no sense for Nate Diaz. It doesn't make much sense for Khamzat Chimaev either. Chimaev needs to fight someone that's ranked. He needs to fight someone that's going to get him closer to a title fight. He needs to fight someone who is in their prime and on their way up and not, sorry to say, on their way out of, well, Diaz isn't even ranked, on their way out of the UFC and who is more interested, and rightfully so, in money fights than fights towards a title shot. Neil Magny would be that fight for Chimaev. He's not going to get that fight unless Diaz says no. And even then, he might not get that fight because Magny's not a big-name fighter. He's a tough fighter, but not a big-name fighter. So this fight, if it gets made, is simply because Nate Diaz wants out of the UFC and the UFC wants to send him out of the UFC. And their desire is to send him out in a big way, in a big loss. Yeah, sure, that builds Chimaev's name and rep a little bit, but big picture, anyone that knows anything, a win over Nate Diaz right now doesn't mean as much as a win over Neil Magny would mean right now because Diaz isn't ranked. Magny is. Magny might not be in line for a title fight, but he's still a fighter who is going to give a lot of the top welterweight struggles. I don't think you would say that about Nate Diaz. Also, Nate Diaz isn't known for his takedown defense, so the hope is that Chimaev ragdolls him to the mat and just beats him and then sends him out on a big loss. It's silly. It's petty. It's vindictive. It's typical Dana White behavior. And it really helps no one but Dana White. And as we know, the only interest of Dana White is Dana White. And so that's why this fight is even being talked about, because it doesn't make any sense other than to feed Dana White's ego and, in his mind, hurt Nate Diaz on his way out the door. So hopefully this doesn't get made. Hopefully Nate Diaz gets out of the UFC sooner rather than later and gets to make money. Hopefully Neil Magny gets this fight and we see something from Chimaev that, you know, we need to see. We need to see him fight someone ranked above him who has a good experience, who is going to be a tough fight. And I don't think that's Nate Diaz. I do think that's Neil Magny. I think he beats Neil Magny, but I think it's an interesting fight. So we'll see. But, I mean, outside of Dana White, I don't know who's really going to be pounding the gates for Nate Diaz and Khamzat Chimaev. Certainly isn't going to be me. All right, it's time to look at the UFC 268 main event. Welterweight title fight champion Kamaru Usman versus challenger Colby Covington. Current odds are Usman at minus 300, Covington at plus 245. Opening odds was Usman at minus 225 and Covington at plus 190. This, of course, is a rematch. The odds in the first fight closed at Usman at minus 190, Covington at plus 160. So the closer we get to UFC 268, which takes place on Saturday in Madison Square Garden, the more Usman is favored. And to me, that makes complete and total sense, because I'll cut right to the chase. I do not see a way that Colby Covington wins this rematch. I thought his chance was good in the first fight. I do not feel that way about the second fight. But before we get into more details about that, let's take a look at the stats to watch for this fight card. I'm sorry, for this fight. The strikes landed per minute are close at 4.63 for Usman and 4.12 for Covington. But the number that stands out as far as offense is the 54% striking accuracy for the champion to the 38% striking accuracy of the challenger. Covington gets a hit a bit more than Usman, and we know Usman's power is much more substantial than Covington's. So if Usman's making contact more, Covington's getting damaged more. And that's not a good sign for the challenger. Here are the numbers that we can take from the first fight. Usman scored 2 knockdowns. He landed 175 of 360 significant strikes for a 48% landing rate. Covington had a higher output at 395 attempted significant strikes, but he only landed 143 of those for a 36% accuracy rate, which is pretty darn low. Target selection was more mixed for the champ, as he went 66% to the head, 30% to the body, and 3% to the legs. Covington went 72% to the head, 19% to the body, and 8% to the legs. Usman is 34, makes him a year older than Covington, but I don't think we've seen his best career performance as of yet. I think Covington has reached his max. I don't think Covington has any more surprises up his sleeve. He's an excellent fighter, but he kind of is who he is at this point, which is high output, not a lot of damaging strikes, just a kind of a fighter who accumulates damage because of the number of strikes he lands. He doesn't give an opponent a chance to breathe. It's all output, takedown, and just a constant offense, but not a devastating offense. But it's an overwhelming offense, which can be effective. I don't think it's going to be effective against Usman. I also don't think we've seen the best of Usman as a fighter yet. I think we might see that in this fight. If we don't see it at this fight, I think we'll still at least see a progression for Usman in this fight. You look at his wins over Burns and Masvidal. We saw the recent win over Masvidal. We saw a progression over since his win over Covington and then Masvidal in the first fight, and then Burns and then Masvidal in the second fight. We've seen progress being made. We've seen Usman adding tricks to his bag. We've seen his arsenal of techniques getting bigger and better and deeper. And I don't think we've seen that with Covington. I think we know who Covington is, and I think Usman knows who Covington is. And that plays well for the champion in this one. I think Usman knows what Covington's going to do, and I think he'll be more prepared and more aware of what Covington's going to do in this second match. And I think he knows what Covington's style will bring to the judges because of how close it was going into that fifth round. So I think he's going to be more prepared, and he's going to offer up something a little different than what he did in the first fight. I don't think Covington is going to do that. I think Covington's going to offer up the same thing. I think Usman can make adjustments. I don't think Covington can. I think the one adjustment Covington could make, but is a risk, is to incorporate more wrestling. If he does that, and Usman, who has a 100% takedown defense rate, stops those takedowns, Covington, who has great cardio, there's no way to say that he doesn't, he might have to go a little deeper into his cardio bag there. And that might sap his energy for later in the fight. And so I don't know if Covington incorporating wrestling will be a smart move just because of how good Usman's defense is. I think it's his only wild card. And if he has success, it can really change the tenor of the fight. But if he fails, that'll also change the tenor of the fight. So it's a risk-reward proposition. Maybe Covington tries a couple takedowns early, and if he fails, back out of that so not to use so much energy and just try and keep pushing the pace and pushing the pace and pushing the pace and hope the judges give you the you win rounds as opposed to winning the fight, which winning rounds is kind of the name of the game and if that's your style. And I think that is Covington's style. But I don't see this happening for Covington in this rematch. I see Usman getting a knockout. I see Usman getting a knockout earlier than he did in the first matchup. And I see Usman getting a knockout that is more devastating, and it's going to make put a stamp on this one. I don't think there will be questions in this one. I think Usman gets the knockout. I think he gets it in the third or the fourth round, and then he moves on. And I think this might be the fight we see Usman reach the pinnacle of his career. And so I'm picking Kamaru Usman, knockout in the third or fourth round, not a TKO, a knockout in the third or fourth round to retain his welterweight title. It is time to discuss the co-main event of UFC 268, which is the women's strawweight title fight between current champion Rose Namajunas and former champion Zhang Weili. And right now, the odds are even at minus 110. And let's talk about Rose Namajunas' mindset, because I think that is the big topic that is going to be discussed, or it's the big topic that we should focus on. I don't know if Namajunas wasn't interested in being the champ when she first won the belt, or if she wasn't ready to be the champ when she first won the belt. But I don't think it's out of line to say that she was more interested in her own personal journey at that time than being a UFC champion. Nothing wrong with that. Some people don't want to have that kind of pressure, don't want to have those kind of expectations put on them. They just want to compete and get better at martial arts and just move up in their own personal journey. And I think that's where Rose Namajunas was when she first won the title fight. And I think she kind of expressed that those feelings when she first won the title. Now that she has lost it and regained it, I think she's in a different kind of mindset. And I think that now she is ready to be the champion. And that could go either way for her here. I think if you talk to people who become champions, most of them will tell you that the easy part is winning the title and the hard part is keeping the title. Once you're the champ, you're the target. You can go look at this through the careers of folks like John Jones, George St. Pierre, Anderson Silva, Demetrius Johnson, Ronda Rousey, people who were champions for a substantial amount of time. Once they became the target, they kind of had to fight in a, for lack of a better term, safer way, because everyone was training to beat them. Everyone who moved up in their careers to beat was, their goal was just to beat those champions. Naomi Yunus isn't there yet, but she is one of the best fighters in the division, and so she is kind of there. So once you get the belt, you're the goal, and things change, and focus changes, and training changes, and everything changes, and that's where Rose Naomi Yunus is at right now. And so I don't know how that's going to affect her mindset. I think she'll be more prepared mentally for this reign as champion than she was for the first time, but we shall see. And as we start to discuss this fight, I think Naomi Yunus is an extremely talented fighter, but I don't think she will win this fight. I think she has the potential to be a champion for a while, but I think that Zhang is just the kind of a juggernaut right now, and I think she's going to defeat Naomi Yunus. So let's look at some numbers. Strikes landed per minute, Naomi Yunus is 4.13, Zhang is 6.36, a big difference there. The striking is 40% for Naomi Yunus, 45 for Zhang. Absorbed, Naomi Yunus takes 3.99 per minute, but Zhang takes 4.42, which is pretty on the pretty much on the high side. Defense, Naomi Yunus is 60% and Zhang is 53%. So I think the problem in the first fight with that Naomi Yunus got into Zhang's head with the with a little bit of her trash talk, and that affected Zhang's focus. I don't think that's going to happen in this one. I also think that Naomi Yunus and Whitman are an incredible team, and they can come up with a plan that will give Zhang fits in this rematch. I think Zhang learned a lesson in the first fight. I think her winning streak and dominance might have had her feeling invincible, and the knockout loss taught her a lesson that, you know, things aren't always as they seem. I expect her to be more defensively aware here in this rematch and perhaps have a little slower output to draw Naomi Yunus in and not just be forward, 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 push, 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 and leaving herself open for strikes like the strike that ended the fight the first time. One thing concerns me about Naomi Yunus is the fact that Whitman, a great game planner and great coach, is also, I think, coaching Gaethje and Usman on this card. And that leads me to wonder if he's spreading himself too thin in the lead up to this fight, and if the attention that would normally go towards one fighter, which is now going towards three, will be a downside for Naomi Yunus. Naomi Yunus needs a strong team behind her, and she needs to have that confidence in that team. If that wavers a little bit going into this fight, then I have some fears about how she's going to perform. I'm not confident in this pick. I don't feel great about it. As the odds show you, this one could go either way. But I'm going to go with Zhang in the rematch here, and I think she's going to win by decision. But again, I'm not confident in that, and I wouldn't put money down on it just because of how good both these women are. I think we'll have a very entertaining fight. I could see it ending by knockout for either. I could see it ending by submission maybe for Naomi Yunus. Or like I say here, I think Zhang's going to get the win by decision, but I really don't know how this one's going to play out. I'm just going with gut on this one more than anything. But my pick for the UFC 268 women's co-main event is Zhang Weili by decision.